morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day you have given us. We thank you for all who are gathered here today, Lord. We ask that you bless us with the power of your word today, Father, that you bless this sermon. And bless all those who can't be here today, Father God. May you bring peace and healing to us all. And we just pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. 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 So my sermon title today is, He Went Down to Them. Amen. And it's a phrase from the text, but that's what this text is all about. What the sermon's all about is Jesus coming down to us. Amen. Right where we're at. And it's all about prayer. Amen. About a relationship. So I got this, what I said was, if God were to send a letter about prayer to us, I think it would sound something like this. Amen. Starts out, I am God. Today I will be handling all of your problems. Please remember that I do not need your help. If the devil happens to deliver a situation to you that you cannot handle, do not attempt to resolve it. Kindly put it in the SFJTD box, which stands for something for Jesus to do. Amen. It will be addressed in my time, not yours. Once the matter is placed in the box, do not hold on to it or attempt to remove it. Holding on or removal will delay the resolution of your problem. If it is a situation that you think you're capable of handling, please consult me in prayer to be sure that that's the proper assumption. Because I do not sleep or slumber. There is no need for you to lose any sleep. Rest, my child. If you need to contact me, I am only a prayer away. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God. Amen. So our text starts today with Jesus praying, of course, but and choosing 12 of his disciples, or apostles, I should say, from his disciples. And we're told that it would include an all-night prayer session on a mountain. Amen? And our first verse says that one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Jesus was about to make a very important decision in choosing his apostles. Amen? And but it was also a critical point in his ministry, right? Remember in the last sermon that we finished off where they were plotting to kill Jesus, right? They're plotting to kill Jesus, and he had offended everybody in the political realm, everybody, all the Pharisees, everybody was, a lot of people were out to get him. So they were plotting to kill him, and Jesus knew this. Amen? Jesus knows everything. Amen? Jesus knew this. And yes, great crowds were following him, but they weren't really interested in the spiritual food that Jesus was giving them. They just wanted to be healed. They wanted to be fed, you know, literal food. Amen? And they wanted more healing than teaching is what they wanted. Amen? But he had these people following him around, and they would very easily turn on him if they didn't get what they wanted. And we know that for sure by when we come to the text that says, crucify him, crucify him. Amen? They would turn on him. But this was all part of God's plan. Amen? All part of God's plan. Even Judas Iscariot, who would betray him, would be part of God's plan. Charles Spurgeon wrote about this. He said, in response to these pressures and changing situations, Jesus secluded himself for this special time of prayer. We suppose that Jesus prayed constantly, but for this particular need, he went out to the mountains to pray. Jesus, therefore, to prevent interruption, to give himself the opportunity of pouring out his whole soul and to avoid ostentation, sought the mountain. Ostentation just means like to show off or show everybody how much power you got. Amen? Jesus was God, yet he still prayed all night. Like every other struggle he faced this one as a man. He came as a man. Amen? He faced this one as a man who needed to seek the will of his Father to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, just like we do when we're in trouble, when we have something that we're dealing with, we come to the Father in prayer. We don't do it on our own. He came to the earth to live as a man and take on all of our pain, all of our suffering, and the sins of the world so that we can all have eternal life. We must always remember that we don't have to do this life thing alone. And I say in our recovery ministry, Celebrate Recovery, I always say, we don't have to do this recovery thing alone. But aren't we all in recovery in some way, right? We're all in recovery from sin, amen? And, you know, when we're all struggling or we're faced with life-changing situations, just like Jesus does, we should all go to the Father in prayer. That's what Jesus did. That's what we should do. And once again, Jesus is setting the example for us all. Setting the example. Amen. Now, when Jesus had finished praying, he was ready to make his decision. He was ready to make his decision, and he was ready to pick his team, his apostles. Amen. He conferred with the Lord, with the Father, and he was ready to pick his team. And in verse 13 it says, when morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he designated apostles. Notice it says his disciples, right? His disciples. The disciples belong to Jesus. They were his disciples. The disciples didn't belong to the world. They belong to Jesus. Now a disciple is like someone who's like a student, right? Or someone that's learning. Amen? That was the definition of disciple. They didn't just study a subject, though. They followed a teacher. They found a teacher and they followed the teacher. Amen? And these disciples were following Jesus. He was their teacher. He was their rabbi. Amen? He was their teacher. That was his disciples. So, now Jesus knew that he would soon be crucified for God's purposes, and this is why he would now start to choose his apostles, amen? The ones who would deliver his message after he was gone. Jesus chose 12 apostles. Does anybody know why Jesus chose 12 apostles? Huh? For the 12 tribes, amen? They represented the 12 tribes of Israel. You get a gold star. Linda, she's a teacher. You get a gold star, amen. So what Jesus was doing is he's linking the Old Testament to the New Testament. He does that quite often, amen. He's linking the Old Testament to the New Testament. And it is to these apostles that Jesus would give, initially anyways, he would give the Great Commission, amen. And they would, you know, he would send them out two by two, amen. Two by two, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. And Matthew 28:18 talks about that. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The idea behind the ancient Greek word for apostle is ambassador. Amen? The apostle is the ambassador. The actual Greek word is pronounced apostolos. 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 Amen? Which means to send someone as another one's authority, right? So a representative, an ambassador. Amen? That's what we call it here. We call them ambassadors. Amen? And in verses 14 through 16, these are the names that he chose or designated as apostles. Amen? So I got them all here. And like I said in the last service, I don't think Matthew was that big. But, if you've seen The Chosen, right? Yeah, okay. You know what he looks like. Anyways. So the names, okay? First we got Simon Peter. Amen? Simon Peter. Oh, and I'm going to say one more thing. On the list of the names in all the Gospels, Simon Peter, the rock, is always first. And guess who's always last? Judas Iscariot. Amen? So in all the lists, those are always first and last. Okay, so we got Simon Peter, the rock, and we got Andrew, his brother. Amen? And we got James and John. the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder, right? And of course, John was the one that Jesus loved, right? Amen? And then we got Philip, who would tell Nathanael, okay, Bartholomew, Nathanael, same guy, okay? And Jesus would call Bartholomew the Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Wow. Amen. And then we got my favorite, Matthew, the tax collector, probably the most hated one of them all. We got Doubting Thomas. We all know Doubting Thomas. We got James the Less. We got Simon the Zealot. They're mixed up a little bit here. We got James. We got Judas Iscariot. And then we got, Thaddeus. Son of James. Yeah, Judas, son of James. Amen. Okay? So the first 11 are all great encouragements to us. Amen? The first 11 are all great encouragements because it shows how God can use common and typical people for his purpose. Amen? Because we know where they all came from, right? But Judas Iscariot, on the other hand, stands as a warning of the evil potential of sinful lust and the hardness of our hearts when we look to other idols, right? Judas's idol would be money. Amen? That was his idol. He took the money to betray Jesus. Amen? But remember, Jesus knew Judas's heart. Amen? Jesus knew Judas's heart, but God can use even the evilest of people for his purpose. And that's what he does. God uses everything for his purpose. A man once asked a theologian, he said, why did Jesus choose Judas Iscariot to be his disciple? And the teacher replied, he said, I don't know, but I have an even harder question. Why did Jesus choose me? Amen? Why did Jesus choose me? Why did he choose any of us? Amen? I put mic drop, but I don't have a microphone. So. But see, he got it. So Jesus had gone from praying to picking the apostles, and now he's going to be preaching. Amen? He came down to the plain and he's going to start preaching. And in verse 17 it says that he went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon who had come to hear him and be healed of their diseases. They had come to hear this sermon on the plain. Much like the Sermon on the Mount. But this sermon has a little bit different take to it. Amen? Has a little different take to it. And it's a different sermon, I believe, at a different time and in a different place. And I'm going to explain that to you right here. After all, it says Sermon on the Plain, right? So a Sermon on the Mount and a Sermon on the Plain are two different places. Amen? They're not the same. And in Luke's account, this message on the plain is a lot smaller, a lot shorter. Amen? And then, of course, it includes some woes that weren't in the Sermon on the Mount. Okay? And we'll cover all that. So, on the location on the map, the Sermon on the Plain is said to have been west of Tiberias right here. Amen? This would have been the Sermon on the Plain, right around this area here. Here's the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sermon on the Mount was up here near Capernaum, okay? So this right here, if you look at the scale here, it's probably about 10 or 12 miles apart, I believe. And so they were definitely in different places, okay? And the plains west of Tiberias, they also said it was at the foot of the Horns of Hattin, amen? And I don't have a map of it, but there were some mountainous regions over here. It had a couple really sheer cliffs or points, and those were the Horns of Hattin. Jesus was thought to have went up there to pray and then came back down to the plains west of Tiberias to give this sermon. Now that we're pretty sure it's a different place, okay? Let's continue. So, like I said, in verse 17, it said he had come down from praying to this level place or plain, and a large crowd of his disciples were there, and a great number of people. So all these disciples, a bunch of people from all over the area. They were from Judea, Jerusalem, Tyre, Sidon. They were from all over. So here's a map. Here's Sidon and Tyre. All the way down here is Judea, okay? Here's Jerusalem. So they came from all around to come right here to hear this sermon, to be healed, right? And to be fed the word, amen? They came from all over. Then in verse 18 it says, "They who had come to hear him and be healed by their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people tried to touch him because power was coming off of him and healing everybody." Literal power was coming off of Jesus. So Jesus not only had the power of God inside of him, but it was going out from him and healing everyone. Amen? Kind of reminds me of the woman of the bleeding, the woman who was bleeding for 12 years, amen, that touched his garment and was healed, right? In Mark 5. All they had to do because of their faith was touch him, and they were healed. Because of the faith they had, amen? Because of their faith. In verse 20 it says, looking at his disciples, he said, and here's the sermon, where the sermon starts, okay? He said, "Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." Anyone who has studied about Jesus and the New Testament, even baby Christians, knows about the Beatitudes. Amen? We all know about the Beatitudes. And all the statements that begin with "blessed are." Amen? They all begin with "blessed are." It's one of the common statements that Jesus would use in his preaching. He would quite often say, "blessed are." Now, blessed just basically means happy or fortunate in this case. Amen? Happy or fortunate. When I first started preaching, I used to use the term "blessed assurance" all the time. I used to say "blessed assurance" because I knew how fortunate I was in the assurance that God went before me, that God was blessing me in everything that I had done, and God was blessing me in everything that I accomplished. Amen. I was living in the blessed assurance of God, and I was so happy for that. And I still am, of course. Amen. But I used to use that term quite often. So Jesus was really saying, when he said, "Blessed are you who are poor," he was saying, "Happy are you who are poor." That's what he was saying. And at first glance, this makes no sense, right? It makes no sense, especially to the world. But the power and wisdom in this truth lies in the fact that the poor man has to look to others for his needs. The poor man has to look to others for his needs, while the rich man may be content with everything he has. He's got it all in control because he's got all the money in the bank, right? Amen? Can be dangerous, right? There's a Christian rap song that exemplifies what I'm talking about here, and it's called "Being Broke Made Me Rich." Amen? And that doesn't make a lot of sense to the secular rappers, amen, because they're all about the money, right, and the gold and the diamonds, right? But "Being Broke Made Me Rich" is a song by Lecrae, and it just talks about how being broke in our lives makes us rich in our faith because we're reaching out to God for help. Amen? And so happy, he also says, instead of blessed, he says, "Happy are you who hunger for righteousness." He's talking about righteousness, not food. Amen? "Happy are you who hunger for righteousness, and happy are you who weep, for you will laugh with joy." So Jesus is speaking to these people who were experiencing all these things, okay? They were suffering from poverty, they were suffering from hunger, and they were suffering from weeping. They were crying, amen? And in verse 22 it says, "Blessed," or happy, right? It's happy. Happy are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. And that's from Acts 7:52. Amen? And I'll read that. Acts 7:52 says, had a mark, don't have a mark. Give you guys time to look it up, huh? Acts 7:52 says, was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and now you have betrayed and murdered him. Amen. So if we're being persecuted for his name, we're in good company. Amen. Amen. Jesus' promise to us who suffer for his name is that there's going to be a reward. There's going to be a reward. This is the reward. Amen. This is the heaven. And because of this reward, there should be a joy in our lives, or a glow about us, that other people may see that we're a child of God. Amen. People should be able to see that in us. Regardless of what we're going through, we should have a peace about us because of the promises of God. People should look at us and say, I want what he's got, or I want what she's got. Amen? Because they see the Holy Spirit in us, right? Matthew 5:16 says it this way. It says, in the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen? Amen. They should see Christ in us. There was a Hindu trader in India who once asked a missionary, he said, what do you put on your face to make it shine? Was surprised, the man of God answered him and said, I don't put anything on my face. The questioner began to lose patience and said emphatically, he said, yes, you do. All of you who believe in Jesus seem to have it. He said, I've seen it in the towns of Agra, Surat, and even in the city of Bombay. And suddenly the Christian understood, and his face glowed even more, right? And he said, now I know what you mean, and I will tell you the secret. It's not something that we put on the outside. It's something that comes from within us. Amen? Something that comes from within us. It's the reflection of the light of Christ in our lives. In my testimony, I talk about the cracks from my life are there today so that you can see the Holy Spirit coming out through them. Amen? Amen? And a lot of people in recovery lately have been referring to that light in their testimonies. Amen? Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. An eternal glory. All of our troubles are far outweighed by the glory that we're going to experience. Amen? The glory that awaits us. Amen? So Jesus and Paul are saying it's better to be a poor follower of Christ than a wealthy believer, basically. Amen? And that's amazing. The secular world looks at this statement, they say, are you kidding me? Right? Are you kidding me? As they get dressed and go to the casino in their Lambo, right? Amen? On a Sunday morning, maybe, right? Or they go to a great paying job that they got to work 16 hours every Sunday. Amen? Amen? And I know some people have to, but I'm just using this as an example, amen, that God should come first. Amen? Paul would address this, though, as well. He'd say, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is the power of God. Amen? I love that. So, blessed are those who know their eternal destination and are happy that it's with Christ at any cost. At any cost in our lives. Blessed are those who suffer for his name. Spurgeon wrote, he said, note also with delight that the blessing is in every case in the present tense. In the present tense. Not just about what we have coming to us. It's in the present tense. A happiness to be now enjoyed and delighted in. It is not blessed shall be. It is blessed are. Blessed are. We are blessed right now, right here. We're not just blessed in the knowledge of our eternity. Amen. We are blessed in the joy and the peace that we experience today because we follow the Savior. We live it. That's the light coming out of us. Amen? Now, there's also a flip side to all these blessed or happy conditions. And that's what makes this one a little different than the Sermon on the Mount. And those are the woes. We're going to talk about the woes. Amen? Verse 24 says, "But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. And woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep." Now, Jesus is not speaking just to anyone who's rich, okay? There are many people of faith in Jesus Christ that are rich, that have a lot of money. Amen? He's speaking to those who only have riches in themselves, who have an idol for money, right? They only have riches in themselves. Those who put their riches before God. Those who put their riches before God. That's who he's speaking to. The poverty and the riches that Jesus speaks of are not just in the physical, they're in the spirit. Amen? It's not just about the physical money, it's about the spirit, riches of the spirit. I like to put it like this. That physical, he was saying that physical poverty would likely bring spiritual riches. That physical poverty would bring spiritual riches. Or the flip side, that physical riches would likely bring spiritual poverty. Amen? Remember Matthew 19:24, right? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man. Amen? To see the kingdom of God. And that's because of it's dangerous to have all that money. I stopped playing Powerball and all them a long time ago. Amen? I don't even want to take a chance on winning all that money. Amen? You imagine how hard it is to stay grounded in the Lord when you're when you got 300 or whatever, what was the last one, $1 billion or whatever? Amen? If you gave it all, yeah, that's whatever. Oh, I'll give, Lord, I'll give 40% to the church, 50%. Yeah, give it all to the church. That might work. That's a good plan there. That's a good plan, Shannon. Amen. But then he also says, "Woe to you who laugh. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and you will weep." He's not saying that as Christians we have to walk around all sad all day, right? Like, oh man, you know, suffering for all this stuff, right? That's not what he's saying. Have you guys seen Pastor Rick's shirt that says, "If you think Christianity is boring, then you're doing it wrong"? Have you seen that? Amen? So, Christians love to laugh. Amen? We love to laugh. But here he's talking about a laughing of indifference. He's talking about a laughing of indifference. The laughter that goes along with a lack of concern for others. Or someone that just doesn't care about the world. All they care about is themselves. And they're just laughing at everybody, right? That's the kind of laughter he's talking about. Sure, we're going to mourn, but only because God's word has opened our eyes to the truth of the evil in this world. That's why we mourn. We mourn for all the evil that's going on in the world. Amen? And for all those who still need to be saved. That's what we mourn for. He's saying, "Blessed are those who mourn today because our joy is to be found in eternity because we recognize our need for a Savior." We recognize our need for a Savior. That's why it's so important to spread the gospel and to witness to others who are still laughing at the world. That's why he gave the Great Commission, not only to the apostles, but to all of us as well. Jesus is saying, "Woe to you who are laughing and just having one big party while the world is destroying itself in sin." But for us who mourn, there will be a rejoicing. Amen? Hallelujah. So there's a time for mourning, but there's a time for rejoicing as well. Then in the last woe that he speaks of in verse 26, he says, "Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." Now here he's talking about those who are accepted by the world because they're one in the world. These are the people who they're working so hard to be accepted by the world, but they could care less of whether God accepts them or not. They're only worried about fitting in or getting all they can get. Amen? They have no fear and a lot of times very little belief in a God or in our God. David Guzik wrote about this. I love this guy. He said, "Jesus went down to them and compared their worldly expectations of the kingdom with the spiritual reality of his kingdom. Jesus mocked the world's values. He exalted what the world despises and rejected what the world admires. Jesus turned their perception of the kingdom of God upside down, or right side up, if you will, right? And he still does that today. Amen? He'll turn our world upside down with the truth. So study God's word. 15 minutes a day to start is what we say here, Amazing Grace. Amen? 15 minutes a day to start. Experience the joy that comes only from the knowledge of Christ. And once you receive that joy, share it with the world. The Great Commission, right? Go out and make disciples of all nations. Share it with the world. Now, if you're not saved, or you're not sure, or you just want to rededicate your life to Christ, which you can never do too many times, by the way, just so everybody knows, then please stand with me and say this prayer with me today. Amen? In Jesus' name. All right. 1, 2, 3. Oh God, I know that I am a sinner. I believe Jesus was my substitute when he died on the cross. I believe his shed blood, death, burial, and resurrection were for me. I now receive him as my Savior. I thank you for the forgiveness of my sins, the gift of salvation, and everlasting life. Because of your merciful grace, amen. Now, if you said this prayer, I believe you are saved, and receive that joy, amen, into eternity. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your mighty, powerful word, Father. We thank you that we can go to you in prayer anytime, Lord, and you will answer our prayers in your time, Father. We thank you, Lord, for strengthening us in all of our battles, Lord. And we thank you for the joy and the peace that is not only is to come, but is here right now in our lives, Father God. May you continue to go before us all, Lord. Bless us, heal us, and watch over us all with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord, we come to you this morning. We come to you with these petitions, with these prayers. We lift up everyone that's struggling, everyone that's suffering, everyone that's struggling. We lift them all up to you today, Father God. We pray, come, Lord Jesus, join us in this place. Heal us, Father. We lift all these petitions to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we lift up Kathy and Jim Gardner to you and Michael and the family, and we pray for continued healing in their lives.